Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 18, Diti Vows to Kill King Indra, text number 75. Through, I guess, anyway, a few verses here. Arajatma Pradam Devam Swatmanam Jagadishanam Ko Vrnita Gunasparsham Buddha Sian Narake Api Yat Arajatma Pradam Devam Swatmanam Jagadishvaram Kovrinita Gunasparsham Buddha Sian Narake Piyat Arajatma Pradam Devam Swatmanam Jagadishwaram Kovrinita Gunasparsham Buddhasyan Narake Piyat Arajatma Pradam Devam Swatmanam Jagadishwaram Kovrinita Gunasparsham Buddhasyan Narake Piyat Arajatma Padam Devam Satmanam Jagadishwaram Govinita Gunasparsham Buddhasyan Narake Piyat Arajatma Padam Devam Satmanam Jagadishwaram Govinita Gunasvarsam Buddhasyan Narake Piyat Arajatma Padam Devam Satmanam Jagadishwaram Govinita Gunasparsham Buddhasyan Narake Piyat Arajatma Padam Devam Manam Jagadishwaram Govinita Gunasparsham Asyan Narake Piyat Ladies. Rajatma Padam Devam Swatmanam Jagadishwaram Govinita Gunasparsham Padasyan Narake Piyat Aradhya. After worshipping Atma Pradam, who gives himself, Devam, the Lord, so Atmanam, the most dear, Jagadishwaram, the Lord of the universe, Ka, what, Vrinita, would choose, Gunasparsham, material happiness, Buddha, intelligent person, Shat, is, Narake, in hell, Api, even, Yat, which. The ultimate goal of all ambitions is to become a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If an intelligent man serves the most dear Lord, who gives himself to his devotees, how can he desire material happiness, which is available even in hell? Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. An intelligent man will never aspire to become a devotee to achieve material happiness. That is the test of a devotee. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches, Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani shvare bhavatad bhaktir rahai tuki twai. O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service, birth after birth. Pure devotee never begs the Lord for material happiness in the shape of riches, followers, a good wife, or even mukti. The Lord promises, however, yoga kshemam vahamyaham. I voluntarily bring everything necessary for my service. So I'm supposed to finish the chapter. I'll read a couple more verses. So here it is, text 76. Taridam mamadur janyam bali shasya mahi yasi kshantum arhasi matash tvam dishya garbo mritot titaha. O my mother, O best of all women, I am a fool. Kindly excuse me for whatever offenses I have committed. Your 49 sons have been born unhurt because of your devotional service. As an enemy, I cut them to pieces, but because of your great devotional service, they did not die. Text 77. Shri Shuka Uvacha Indras Tayab Yanujan Gyata Shuddha Bhavena Tushtaya Marudbi Sahatam Natva Jagama Tridivam Prabhu. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, Diti was extremely satisfied by Indra's good behavior. Then Indra offered his respects to his aunt and with profuse obeisances, and with her permission he went away to the heavenly planets with his brothers, the Maruts. Text 78. Evam te sarvam akhyatam yanmam tvam paripritchasi mangalam marutam janma kimbuya katayamite. My dear King Parikshit, I have replied as far as possible to the questions you have asked me, especially in regard to this pure, auspicious narration about the Maruts. Now you may inquire further, and I shall explain more. That's in the Bhaktivedanta purport to the 6th canto, 18th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Gyana Tamarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Malitam Nena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Hati Namane. Namaste, Sarasati Devi, Gauravani Pucharane, Nirvashesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarane, Vanjakalpaturubhyascha, Kripasani Vyavacha, Patitanam Bhavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha, Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So as described, we're hearing the happy ending of this story. As in yesterday's verse, is an interesting the conclusion, of course, the conclusion of the Bhagavatam is that pure devotional service is the thing that we want to aspire for. It's that which will satisfy our hearts. It's that which will rectify all unfortunate circumstances, all disadvantages. I was thinking this is, in one hand, an amazing tribute to the power of devotional service. We may take to devotional service with some motivation, but I haven't met any devotees that took to devotional service with a desire to kill Indra. That's pretty astounding. And Indra also was serving. And then the power of Diti and her husband is they could actually do it. Indra, the king of heaven, was so worried that he knew they could actually create a son that could kill me. He wasn't thinking, oh, who's this crazy woman? He knew she could do it. So he served her also with motivation, not purely. And looked for some flaw and then tried to kill her children. So this doesn't exactly seem like the ideal of devotional service taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But nevertheless, the profound lesson of this chapter is that even such devotional service, even with such motivation, still devotional service is so powerful that it can bring about such an auspicious result. What is that? Krishna Surya Sama Mayahaya Andhakara. Wherever there's Krishna, then somehow or other Maya becomes dispersed. So it's an amazing story. At the same time, Indra is concluding here that, and we are always urged, and Srila Prabhupada is speaking throughout his purports, that although we may have some motivation or some, some impurities in our devotional service, we are always advised and instructed and trying to give the understanding of having the proper motivation. There's a difference between, just like there's described that there's two kinds of namabhas. One is that a person is, we understand that the holy name is non-different from Krishna. Krishna is fully present. Shishi Radha Shama Sundar are fully present in their holy name. But the holy name doesn't become diminished under any circumstances, but due to the clouds of our own ignorance, we can't perceive that the name is different. So this is one sort of devotional service, you can say, where we're trying to serve Krishna, but because of our own anarthas, we can't exactly perceive him. But there's another kind of namabhas in which the actual motivation is to become one with God. One is chanting Krishna's name with some material desire, but so that's also a kind of contamination, but it's considered much more severe because the basic motivation of the person is wrong. Whereas a person who wants to become a devotee, who wants to serve Krishna, but has some other desires, that's stated that those things will be quickly cleansed. So the conclusion of this story, as Indra is speaking here, is that we should, if we're intelligent, we should aspire for pure devotional service from the very beginning of our devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada gave us this. This was his purity and his power, that he gave us the vision to become pure devotees of Krishna. And I was thinking in the previous verse, it's really nice the way it's stated. Ye tu nechantyapi param te swartha kushala smrita araranam bhagavata. The worship of God, araranam bhagavata, iha manha, being interested nirashisha, without any material desires. So he says, if one is interested in worshiping the Lord without any material desires, he has, in other words, he has no desires. Nirashisha is also sometimes translated as being desireless. Then, or in other words, not interested in his own self-interest. Na ichanti, api param. He's not even interested in liberation. Then, swa-artha kushalam shmita. He's considered to be very expert in understanding his own interest. Seems like contradictory. He's not interested in his own interest. He's only interested in serving Krishna. But swa-artha kushala smrita. Such a person should be considered most expert in understanding their true interest. So also, Prahlad Maharaj says, Nate vidhu swarthe gatam hi Vishnu. Our real interest, because we're part of Krishna, we're not different from Krishna. Serving Krishna, we become satisfied. This is the point. And this verse, and how wonderful it is to serve Krishna, how wonderful Krishna is. It's nicely mentioned here. Aradhya Atma Pradam. Who are we serving? Devam. Who's this Swatmanam? The Lord, who is translated as most dear, but it also means who is one's own self. Krishna is really our own self. Krishna is in our heart. He's not different from us. Not as the Mayavadis think that we're God. But there's really no difference between us. We can't distinguish our own happiness aside from Krishna's happiness. When Krishna's happy, then we're naturally happy. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said one time that spiritual happiness comes when you think about how to make Krishna happy. Such a simple thing. Devotional service, the perfection of devotional service may seem very far away. Chanting purely, at least to myself, seems like a few bursts of hard work before I could get even close. But this thought that how can I make Krishna happy? What will make Krishna happy? Then spiritual happiness comes from this, because the Lord is so wonderful, as it says here, Atma Pradam. He gives himself. I was thinking of was it Duryodhana who wanted, you know, Krishna's army. Generally, that's not a far out scenario at all. Generally, people, as they say, want the kingdom of God without God. I remember there was a certain era when a certain type of person kept coming up to me, and they had this line that they were using then. If you died today, do you know that you would go to heaven? I don't know if any of you heard that or not, but anyway, they were saying this, and so I was thinking, well, probably a devotee's answer to that would be, well, yeah, I'd probably go to heaven because I'm not perfect yet. I'm not purified, so I'd probably be a failure and go to heaven. But anyway, this whole concept, you know, of, you know, making sure you go to heaven and all of this, is God there? Well, it doesn't really matter. As long as I make it to heaven. So, but this is a far cry from devotional service. The devotee just wants Krishna because Krishna is such a wonderful personality that he gives himself. I was thinking of this instruction that Lord Chaitanya gives, where he says that he describes the Lord. He's speaking as the Lord is thinking about how he deals with the conditioned soul, and he says that when a devotee serves me, if they're serving me and they want something material, then such a person is a fool, because they think that they've rejected the nectar and they want to drink poison. So he says that, and he says, but I am not a fool. I am very intelligent. So he says, so I don't give them what they're looking for. Instead, I forcibly give them shelter at my lotus feet. And he says, even though they don't want them, and there's a nice verse there in Bhagavatam, it says that a person unfortunately wants material things, but if he serves Krishna, then Krishna acts in such a way that he gives him attachment to his lotus feet. And then that attachment will actually fulfill his desires. That attraction, that experiencing Krishna will actually fulfill his desires. In the absence of Krishna, nothing satisfies us. This is our practical experience. We go on wanting one thing and we get it, and then we want something else, and then we want that, and we get it, and then we're still not satisfied. So the object of our satisfaction is actually Krishna. I was thinking like Dhruva Maharaj, who's mentioned in the previous verse, actually all he wanted was to sit on his father's lap. He just wanted some affection from his father. But in the absence of that affection, then, okay, I want a kingdom. And no, a kingdom like my father's isn't big enough. It has to be better than Lord Brahma. It goes on and on like that. So this is really the nature of the soul. If we have Krishna, if we have a relationship with Krishna, then we're satisfied, because we just want love. In the absence of that, then no matter what we get, it doesn't satisfy us. So here, Indra is glorifying Krishna. Krishna can give anything. He does. He gives, you know, he makes someone a Brahma, someone an Indra, makes someone a big whatever, movie star, whatever they want. Krishna gives it. But and the real beauty is that Atma Pradam, is that he gives himself. Swa-atmanam, who is most dear. So, guna sparsham buddha syat naraki api yat. So, who will not want to serve such a wonderful master? There's another, what's that, do you know that verse by, I guess it's Rupa Goswami? Pushkar. I forget. Anyway, he's saying the same thing, that the Lord is so nirantara prashanta nishesha mano prashanta nishesha.
Oh, that's from the
anyway, the meaning is bhavanta sanata jivitam. Oh, Jamunacharya. Okay. Anyway, it's a really nice verse. He says, Bhavanta mevan anucharan nirantara. For one who serves you constantly, the one becomes completely pacified and the mind becomes happy. That's the idea. So serving Krishna is so nice that one becomes completely pacified and the mind becomes happy. So then he says, when will I, kadaham, when will I have unbroken service to you? And always be joyful to have such a fitting master. That's a statement. So here also it's, again, it's mentioned this, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam. So this is the, you could say, goal. And in one sense, it's also what happens. The previous verse to this, of course, is Trinadapi Sanichena Tororapi Sahishnina Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said that this verse was spoken by Lord Chaitanya to instruct us how to come to the stage of pure chanting, how to give up all offenses in chanting. And how to become pure in our chanting. So Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim. So, and if we become pure, if we chant without offense, if we chant in this mood, then we will see Krishna. And when we see Krishna, then naturally this is what happens. We don't want anything else. I was thinking how the same example, if there's some motivation, these instructions can be given to devotees. They can be given to aspiring devotees. Like Srila Prabhupada comments about the Mayavadis, it's in Bhagavad Gita somewhere, he says, to think oneself to be all-pervading Brahman is most puffed up. So if there's some motivation like that, then how can one be Trinadapi Sanichena? I remember once when I was living in India for a while, and there was a man who was glorifying these certain kinds of babas that put ashes on their body. They're so humble. They're just putting ashes on their body, and they just want to show that I am nothing. But I was thinking, but they want to become God, so, which is their goal. So how can there be, like Prabhupada said, if we think we're all pervading Brahman, how is the possibility of actual humility? So devotional service is such a wonderful thing that it brings this realization. When we get a glimpse of Krishna's greatness, then naturally this desire, this awakens, this not wanting anything else, just wanting Krishna. So, a couple other points on these other verses. So he says, my dear mother, I want to ask a question at this point. I wasn't here for all of the classes. So is Indra addressing Diti as mother because he was in her womb? Is that the correct understanding? Anybody? And the Maruts are his brothers also for that reason? Because they're saying, Indra, don't kill me because we're your brothers. Huh? She's his aunt. But here he's addressing her as Mata. Standard Vedic etiquette. But the Maruts are also saying, Indra, we're your brothers. So do they have any other connects? All the same thing. Okay. So this is... just wanted to get that straight. Because then immediately, they don't even stick around. She has 49 sons and they leave for heaven. But she's happy. So it's okay. So anyway, this is nice. I had one other thought I forgot. Anyway, fortunately for you, I forgot. So we'll stop here. Are there any questions, comments? Prabhu?
You mentioned the verse. I don't know the verse you mentioned. It is the mind satisfied. Our mind is satisfied. It's a result. No?
Ah.
you mentioned. But yeah. I don't understand too much, because you say the motivation is my own motivation, is my mind become pacified. How do you understand? You worship the Lord. Is it the goal is to give service to the Lord? It's not with motivation. As you're waiting for your own, satisfy your mind. How do you know Krishna is satisfied or not?
Well, what's the expression? The catch 22. I don't know. There must be another expression, way of expressing that term. But if we're serving Krishna, well, there's two things. I made a distinction that there's a basic motive, like the Mayavadis have their motive. They're chanting Hare Krishna also, but they have a motive. So that motive makes them unfortunate. And whereas devotees want to become devotees of Krishna, but they may also desire to become a famous devotee. They may, let me just finish the point, and then they may also, you know, whatever, have so many desires for material happiness. So, but the basic principle is okay. Therefore, they become purified of those material desires by their service. So, or at least this is a statement. But at the same time, it's said that, what is that description? That what is it? Bhukti mukti spriha yavat pasache binivartate. Forget the second line. But anyway, the meaning is that the desires for enjoyment or liberation, which covers just about everything, any desires that we could have in our heart, they haunt one like witches. It said, Pishache Vinivartate. They haunt us like witches, those desires. We want to become devotees, but we're being haunted by the witches of, but I want this, I want that, I want this. They're contrary to devotion. They're opposite of devotion. So it says, and Srila Prabhupada, I think in the Nectar of Devotion, he translates that verse as meaning, saying that anyone who wants to become more and more important spiritually or materially cannot relish the truly sweet taste of devotional service. So if we're serving Krishna and those things are there, then prashanta, the satisfaction of the mind won't occur. It comes from just desiring to serve Krishna. And as I said, it seems contradictory. Even if you serve Krishna with a desire to make your mind pacified, ultimately that has to be given up. Just like Srila Prabhupada told one devotee that I forget exactly, but the idea is he was instructing them to go preach, to do some difficult service. And you know, he was saying, well, you know, to hell with your mind. To hell if you're not happy. Just go do it. Follow my instruction. So that's a higher platform. And but Krishna doesn't leave his devotee. The one who makes that kind of sacrifice, they actually will be peaceful. That's the point.
But he has it in his mind, in her mind, because they obtain the goal. But Krishna is not satisfied. But Krishna is not satisfied by that motivation. So we need to understand how Krishna is satisfied.
Correct.
Who knows?
Yeah. But Krishna is also known as, what is it, Bhava Grahi Janardana. So he accepts, in other words, Diti was, she had some motivation, but there's also some bhakti there. Otherwise, how is there success? The successful ingredient in yoga practice, it said, even if one's an impersonalist, the one that brings the ingredient that brings success is whatever bhakti there is. So there's some bhakti there, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem, Sadhya Kabunai. There's bhakti even in the heart of the tiger, as Prabhupada said. So some bhakti is there. So, but still, I don't think the purport of this chapter is that we should worship Krishna with a desire to kill somebody. So we should accept the instructions of the spiritual master and try as best we can to perform devotional service in the right mood with the right intent and the right goal. Jai Madhu Mati.
Agyata Sukriti is something that when we, somebody engages you in some devotional service and the person is not really knows the result of that activity. So it seems, it seems almost as if Diti, she approaches her husband for this boon and in his mind, he thinks, okay, let me engage her in some service so that she will get some benefit which she is not aware of. Which she will not be aware of. She's not aware of that by doing this.
Till later.
Till later on.
Yeah.
She'll get the benefit without her knowing. And so it doesn't seem like really, I was thinking, it doesn't seem as if Diti is approaching Vishnu or Krishna's service.
Yeah, that's
with
a
motivation,
good,
it almost
point.
Seems like it's an Agyata Sukriti where Kashyapa is engaging her without her knowledge that she is going to get the result, and she gets this result. And she gets, while she's performing, even the activities may be worshipping of Krishna. Like again, we may serve somebody prasadam and they get the benefit without them knowing. She's not aware that this is the benefit she's going to
get. It's almost like Ajamil who was chanting the holy name, and he was just calling his son. He wasn't, so it was considered offenseless chanting.
So
that,
it seems
in that
like
respect, it's similar. There's another point here I was thinking is along that line. Srila Prabhupada often explains good fortune, like the verse Kona Bhangivan Jeev. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai, he explains that by good fortune, after wandering throughout the universe, one comes to devotional service. So he explains what is that good fortune. It's Agyata Sukriti, like you said. It's somehow or other seeing a devotee, meeting a devotee, having some association, hearing something, getting some prasadam. It's all the mercy of the devotee that one gets that Agyata Sukriti. And that creates one's good fortune to one day take to devotional service. This also, it's here. This is very interesting. It says, Kshantu marhasi matas tvam dishya. The only thing that's said here is that, I tried to kill your sons by cutting them to pieces. But dishya, garba, even though I killed them, by fortune, they were saved. But in the translation, Srila Prabhupada he translates this in the same way, with the same understanding as what is that good fortune, because of your devotional service. As an enemy, I cut them to pieces, but because of your great devotional service, they did not die. So he's understanding what the only, good fortune means. You come in contact with Krishna. There's no other source of good fortune. So, nice point. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I was listening to a class the other day by Satchinanda Maharaj, and he was describing about the different levels of devotional service, and he was saying it's okay for a new bhakta to do devotional service mechanically, or even for in her position, she wants to kill India. And so it's okay for someone coming to Krishna consciousness. But saying when you've been for many years, then you need to deepen roots.
Yeah.
He was mentioning just like when a tree starts to grow, a small tree, it's okay to have shallow roots because the tree is not very big. But he said once the tree really becomes bigger and has bigger branches and everything, if he doesn't actually deepen his roots, he will fall down. So he said, in the same way, if a devotee, you know, continuing devotional service, but still is lax in his sadhana and is not going deeper into, you know, devotional service, then there is a lot of chances of him falling down. So that was his analogy. I thought that was interesting.
That's a nice point. So that's an answer to your question that some false motivation may be there in the beginning, but we're expected to rectify that as we... Therefore, it's stressed in the chanting of the holy name, the Sambandha Gyan, is so important. One can't have success in the holy name. I was thinking also on your report, one time I just heard this, maybe it's a Prabhupada said, I don't know, but somebody asked, they said, well, Ajamil was saved, I mean, just by calling his son, so if we name our son Narayan and just do what he did and call his name, will we also be saved? And Srila Prabhupada's response was, it depends on if you know the story. Because the point is, you're not like Ajamil, you're not doing it innocently. You're doing it with some ill intent. Therefore, it's not the same. So, like you said, you have to purify your...
He actually mentioned that in his class, that same class, and he said many devotees say Ajamil, and he said they forget about the other part of the story. He didn't go directly back to God.
Right.
He actually went to Bhadarikashram and performed austerities and performed his sadhana. Then he went back to Godhead. So he said they forget the second part of the story when they mention Ajamil.
Yeah, correct. Prabhu, thank you for your nice class yesterday, by the way.
I was just thinking in regards to this point that the cheating propensity is so strong that someone might think, okay, I won't learn anything about Krishna consciousness and then I won't be, obligated to follow the principles. But that'll only work so far, too. I mean, Krishna says, I'm not a fool. I'm very intelligent.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't cheat Krishna. That's the purport. Bhadra, Prabhu.
I think ultimately it says that worship Krishna.
Huh?
Whatever motive you have,
yeah,
worship Krishna.
Akama sarva kama va.
Yeah. Don't try to worship other demigods.
Yeah.
Worshipping Krishna is going to ultimately purify you and will be, you come to your own understanding gradually. Hmm. You know, it was nice. I can tell you one experience. After doing so many years this parikrama, there is one place called Kamivan. And where you go there, I mean, I kind of tell devotees, be careful what you desire. Your desires are fulfilled. And I was trying to cheating myself. After so many years, heavy desire came in my mind. I'm struggling for money all the time. I should become rich. So that heavy desire came before going to that forest. And suddenly I'm telling other devotees, but at the same time I'm thinking myself that I have to become rich. And suddenly I started thinking, why am I thinking that way? But I kept thinking of that. And suddenly when I was in that in that forest, and there is a Shiva temple there, very powerful Shiva temple, and I was paying obeisance and suddenly thought stuck in my mind that please, if that becoming rich is something good for my devotional service, then it's okay, but please you take care of it. I don't know whether my desire is pure or not. You know, I think my desire is not pure. But Lord Shiva, please, you decide whether what should I do. You decide. See? So sometimes we have that tendency to say someone else something, but inside is some other motive, and that motive comes up. It's cheating ourselves, and that will, you know, will not be benefit to us in our devotional service. But it's nice that suddenly it struck in my heart to ask that, no, please, this is not going to help me in my devotional service.
Any ball? Okay, maybe which, anyway. I don't know whose hand went up first. One second. What? Oh, anyway, I guess so.
And again, I mean, we're not going to be praying, you know, please, Krishna, take everything I have away from me so that my relatives and friends laugh at me and I'm humiliated. And I mean, it's a bit of a dilemma, you know, that when we're in distress or we don't have enough money or we have to do something, you know, that we're endeavoring, you know, and maybe Krishna's going to take everything away from me. That's a blessing. Everyone's just going to kick me and urinate on me. I'm just going to, you know, have nothing. And then, you know, Prabhupada tells a story about this lawyer that he knew that he had so much, and then all of a sudden there was some kind of devastation. He lost everything. He said after 2 weeks, he just died.
Yeah, right. Don't know what to say. Chant Hare Krishna. Well, I think Vedra's point is that, you know, we're, as one devotee said, nobody comes in on a chariot. Right? We're coming to Krishna with whatever we have in whatever state we're at, and that's all we can come with. And to be honest about that is also good. It's not a bad thing, because Krishna says, I cleanse the heart of the honest devotee. Right? So if we're honest and sincere, then it can be. Krishna can take care.
As one engages in devotional service, he also prays that his motivations go away. In that, there's that verse in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, to a prayer to Lord Narsingadev. Om namo bhagavate narishingaya, namaste jastejase avir avir bhava, prajanakam rajadamsa karma shayam, randaya randaya tamo grasha grasha om swaha, abhayam abhayam abhutan atmanibo. That explains that, oh, I offer my obeisances to Lord Narsingadev, who is the source of all power. His nails and teeth are like thunderbolts. Oh my Lord, please drive away our demonic desires for fruitive activity in this material world. That's part of it. So that's there.
Kill the Hirani Kazi Poo in my heart.
there's also another part that explains that, oh my Lord, please remove our ignorance so that by your mercy we can become fearless for existence in this material world. Yeah. So a devotee prays like that. As he advances, he also prays to remove these material desires. So it kind of, Krishna helps and he also prays.
Also, I was thinking as we go, we want to serve Krishna. We want to do some service. And we see that always my service is spoiled because of my false ego. It's just continually ruined by my false ego. Krishna could, you know, I'm giving class. Krishna could just speak through me, but instead this ignorant fool is, you know, blabbing his mouth, you know, except for my, you know, lack of purity. So that desire also comes, I think, as you know, that you want to do some service, so then naturally you want to become pure. That desire comes. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.